Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast. I am your host, Sherry and Sade. Who would have guessed, right? Surprise, surprise. It's me again. How was y'all's Monday going? Imagine tax day being on a Monday. 2024 said it is going to stomp us out in the gutter, didn't it? That's okay, y'all. I hope y'all got y'all stuff done. We're getting our stuff done. We went to the last minute. That's okay. We're getting it all worked out, and I wanted to make sure that I was here to chat with y'all today. A lot is going on. First of all, Harry and Meghan were just all up and through Florida, where I currently live. Now, see, this is the thing. I'm very happy that Montecito don't play the game of leaks. They don't leak anything. But I'm actually sad that I clearly was not on my P's and Q's, because I would have loved to get tickets to be in the audience for the panel that Harry took part in, or a spectator at the polo match or something. And so here's the thing. I can track y'all down in Germany and fly all the way to Germany and see y'all and be in closer proximity than right here in Florida where I live. And let me just say this. For all the news outlets who jumped the gun and was like, Harry and Meghan are in Miami. Harry and Meghan are in Miami for the polo match. And I was really like, where in Miami? And why didn't I hear about it? They weren't in Miami. The panel that took place the day before the polo match was in South Beach. So yes, that was in South Beach. However, the polo match was in Wellington. Wellington is about an hour and 45 minutes or so away from Miami, where they originally said that the polo match would be. And it's even further from South Beach. It's about well over 2 hours, about 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think. So no, they weren't in Miami, which is where I live, which is why I was like, why the hell didn't I hear about this? That's weird. They were in South Beach one day, and then they were in Wellington. But either way, they were all up and through South Florida. So I hope they got some good seafood. It looks like they had a great time. And I'm glad to see that Harry won his polo match and Meghan got to present the trophy. So we're going to get into all of that. And tomorrow on Patreon, we're going to get into Meghan's outfits for sure. But we're going to get into all of that and more. So let's get started. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Sherry and Sade podcast. And thanks to everybody shouting me out. Now, first, you know, I just want to go ahead and highlight somebody. I hope you are listening right now. But Tamiko Hinman, Tammy Hinman on Twitter, who was also one of my moderators on YouTube, shouted me out when Podbean, the platform that hosts my podcast, Podbean tweeted who's having new episodes today or something like that. And I didn't even know Podbean tweeted. So that actually put me on. But Tamiko shouted out the Sherry and Sade podcast. So I want to say thank you so much. And then I saw someone ask, Sherry, where are you now? I can't hear you. I miss you on YouTube. And I wanted to say thank you so much to Robin Samuels for tagging my podcast. That was so nice of you. And I really appreciate that. That really does help the podcast grow. And I've been trying to do as much as I can to announce new episodes on YouTube so that people who are still there know where they can listen to me. But also sherryandsade.com. If you don't want to go searching for me on Patreon or on a podcast platform, you can always just listen to me straight through my website. And that's why I try to make it simple. Sherryandsade.com. Not original at all. I should have had some kind of flair to it. Like, I don't know, sweet Sherry and Sade or something cool, but I didn't have time for all the fun stuff. I said, let's get right to the point so they know exactly where to find me. Sherryandsade.com. So anyway, thank you all so much. Thank you to Tamiko Hinman and to Robin Samuels for shouting out the podcast and the platform. I really appreciate it. So I saw y'all cutting up on Twitter. First of all, Mama was regal at the polo match, was she not? I was trying so hard not to join the conversations and just ramble on because I wanted to leave all my commentary for, you know, Patreon for the specific video for fashion and then also here. But it was taking everything in me not to retweet every single picture that I saw. And then I saw somebody tweet a warning, was like, squatties, try not to retweet blurry photos, retweet the best ones. And I was like, Lord, did I retweet any of the blurry ones? I'm not trying to get in trouble. I didn't, but I thought that was so funny. Y'all are so intentional, and that's very sweet of you. So anyway, I wanted to get down and dirty and talk about the panel before the polo match. And the panel took place the day before the polo match. So Marie Claire did a really nice write-up about it, about Prince Harry's participation in the panel. And he wore a black monochromatic outfit. He looked great. It also makes his hair pop. He got a lot of sun playing polo. In some of the photos, he looked so like tanned and chiseled, and I saw y'all talking about his arms, and I was like, okay, Megan gonna get y'all. So anyway, let's read this article from Marie Claire, and I'm gonna give my thoughts at the end because obviously that's what I always do. Now, the article is titled Prince Harry Says Africa Is In His Soul. The Duke of Sussex took Meghan Markle to Botswana for the couple's third official date. And this was written by Danielle, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Compamore. I'm so sorry if I'm not saying that right, Danielle. Charge it to my head and not my heart. Prince Harry is opening up about the many reasons why the continent of Africa means so much to him. On April 11th, during a panel discussion titled Potential is Waiting, held at the restaurant Zaytinya. I hope that y'all... I love that y'all know me well enough by now to be like, she means well, keep it pushing. Like, y'all don't even play the whole, like, actually, y'all don't even do that to me anymore. Y'all know how I am. The restaurant Zaytinya in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in South Beach, Florida, the Duke of Sussex said, Africa is in my heart and Africa is in my soul. Quote, I first went there when I was 12 or 13 years old, and after so many years, I wanted to give back to it because it had given me so much, the prince continued. The vast open space, the cultures, the community, the people, the wildlife, just the freedom was a huge piece of why I loved Africa so much. The panel discussion was held as part of a charity event co-founded by Prince Harry and Princess Seeso of Lesotho in 2006 with the goal of helping children and young people living in Lesotho and Botswana negatively affected by poverty, inequality, and HIV and AIDS. The April 11th conversation focused primarily on the various ways in which funds can be distributed to best support the next generation as they continue to grow up and live in the southern region of the continent. For the uninitiated, Sentebale, the name of the charity Prince Harry and Prince Harry co-founded with Prince Seeso, which translates to Forget Me Not in the country's national language, and Forget Me Not flowers were also the late Princess Diana's favorite. Quote, it's really focused on ensuring that the younger generation are quite literally not forgotten. Prince William continued during the panel discussion. What? Marie Claire, are y'all insane? Y'all, they really have Prince William in this article. Why did they do that? When I say journalism is dead, these are these small examples of what I mean, because they literally quoted Prince William when they were trying to quote Prince Harry. That's not good. And now I don't mind that I messed up Danielle's name because she messed up Harry's. Look at that little pre-karma. Anyway, let me fix it so that we can read it the right way as it's intended. Quote, it's really focused on ensuring that the younger generation are quite literally not forgotten, Prince Harry continued during the panel discussion. At the heart of Sentebale, what we've always believed is that every single young person should have a chance at a better future. The continent of Africa has played a major role in Prince Harry's life. Not only did the prince make multiple trips as a child and young adult, as he discussed on the panel, but he took his wife, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, to Botswana for the couple's third official date in 2016. Quote, I managed to persuade her to come and join me in Botswana. We camped out with each other under the stars. She came and joined me for 5 days out there, which was absolutely fantastic, Harry said after the couple announced their engagement. So then we were really by ourselves, which was crucial to me to make sure that we had a chance to know each other. Now, I'm going to go ahead and send a quick email so that Marie Claire can make this adjustment, and then we're going to get right back to the podcast. Okay, so the great thing about Marie Claire is that they have all their contact information as well as the writer's information right there and available. So I just emailed everybody whose email address was available and pointed out the error. Hopefully they can get that fixed because they did credit Prince William with a quote by Prince Harry. And Prince William was not at the panel. He did not say anything on the panel, nor is he involved with Sintabali in any way. And while this is a slightly innocent mistake, it kind of isn't, because you know, the media, not necessarily US, although some US media outlets have participated, it's majority the tabloids in the UK, but the media in general has had an issue with crediting Prince William with things that Prince Harry has actually done or said or conquered or accomplished. And we want to just be very mindful of that hitting a nerve, but also just being accurate. It's very unfair to Prince Harry or anyone to do the work, to make the statements, to put all your blood, sweat, and tears into a project to help people, and the credit is given away, even something as small as a quote. And being that this is Marie Claire, I can't believe that got past an editor. So also the article was a little bit snarky. It was like, for the uninitiated, Sintabali is ... Like, not everybody is going to know what Sintabali is. It would have been great if they had maybe been more empowering in their language and said, you know, just for accuracy, or just to fully be informed, or to fully inform you, Sintabali is, or whatever. I mean, they could have just said, this is what Sintabali is. Like, they didn't have to make a snark about it. I don't understand people who do that. Like, everyone doesn't know everything. Some things that you knew for a long time, people are just learning about for the first time. And that is okay, because that's going to happen throughout your own life. You're going to learn things that other people knew forever. You really wouldn't want them to be like, you're just learning that, or for the ignorant or the uninitiated. Like, can't we all just be more kind? I think that's a great goal that we can all try and strive to reach, but more kind and Marie Claire, more accurate. So anyway, the panel went well. I saw clips online and I watched as much as I could. I thought it was a really good panel and I love the conversation. Everyone on the panel, all of the panelists were really good, and they all added something of value to the conversation. So that was enjoyable to watch, but I really wish I could have been there. Who does Archwell's? Do they do PR? I don't think they do PR, but if they do, somebody redirect me to where I can get on some kind of mailing list. I don't want to miss the next thing. All right, so we talked about the panel that took place on April 11th. So now let's get into the actual polo challenge. So I'm actually reading directly from Sussex.com, where I can assure you the information is correct. Okay, let me stop swatting Marie Claire before I walk out my house and they jump me in the street. So let's get to Sussex.com and read the latest on the polo match. And the title of this article is Sintabali Polo Match, April 2024. Yesterday in Wellington, Florida, Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, participated in the Royal Salute Polo Challenge in support of Sintabali. Sintabali was co-founded by Prince Harry and Princesa of Lesotho in 2006 in honor of their shared love for the country and their late mothers. The camaraderie and competitive spirit on the field were matched by the generosity of those who attended the challenge. The Duchess was among the many esteemed guests in attendance and presented the trophy to the winning team. Sintabali is a source of support and inspiration for young people, caregivers, communities in Lesotho and Botswana affected by issues of health, wealth inequality, and climate resilience. This polo challenge highlights the importance of these programs, bringing them to a global audience and ensuring that the charity can continue its vital work. It's a reminder that behind the glamour in sport, the heart of the event beats with the stories of those it aims to uplift. The polo challenge further exemplifies how support can be a powerful vehicle for change and underscores the importance of empowering young people and their communities around the world. To learn more about Sintabali and its essential work, click here. And if you go to Sussex.com or use the link in the description box below, you can actually go directly to Sintabali.org or go through this article. And they took some great pictures. Of course, Nacho was there. Their children was there. Nacho's children were there. And we saw great pictures of the kids playing with Megan. Of course, Nacho's wife was there. Serena Williams was there. So, it was a pretty star-studded audience, I'll say so. And of course, Harry was on the field. So I'm so jealous of everyone who got to spectate. Did anybody who listens to this podcast get to attend? If so, how was it? And that isn't the only latest thing from Sintabali. Sintabali actually has a new benefit auction going on right now, and it's hosted by Sotheby's. So this is a big auction. Now you can go to Sintabali.org, and that's linked in the description box below if you want to bid. Bidding runs from April 11th until April 25th. So you still have 10 days from the time that I post this podcast to bid on something, and the proceeds support the work of Sintabali in Lesotho and Botswana and our vision to uplift the potential of young people, creating a more inclusive and equitable future. and you can actually bid directly from cintabali.org. Pretty cool. I love the work that they're doing. This is a... Now, everyone loved the white dress. I actually thought that was a jumpsuit at first, but it was actually a white dress along with those beautiful gold earrings and those really nice sunglasses that Megan wore. She just looked so chic and very glam, but understated glam, which I love. Her makeup and hair looked so elegant. She looked great. Everybody looked nice, but everyone loved that look. Only for Ignacio Figueres and his wife Delfina to post photos of the dinner that evening and Megan's black asymmetrical ensemble, her dress. Oh, wow. Okay, everyone was falling over themselves. And I can't wait to get into this on Patreon where we can actually look at the outfits. But that backless dress, oh, that was gorgeous. That was gorgeous. I hope more pics get to come out. I doubt they will, but I hope more pics get to come out because that was a beautiful, beautiful dress. Did you guys get to see it? Check out the, first of all, you can look at their Instagram, but you can also look in the articles that I linked below for InStyle. Oh, this dress is gorgeous. So we've had a time talking about the positives, and there's more of that to come. So I'm going to sandwich some of the other stuff in between the positives so we can start and end on a good note. But have you guys heard of Thomas Markle Jr. and what he's doing on YouTube? The fact that YouTube beats up the positive Sussex channels only to amplify, support, monetize, and promote the hate channels, it doesn't make sense to me. Outside of, I understand it makes them money, but it's just insane to me. It just, nothing makes sense about it. Well, TMJ, Thomas Markle Jr., has been making a slew of troll videos crudely impersonating and mocking Megan. And it has prompted many people, thousands, to call for his page to be taken down. I don't understand why this call would have to be made. I mean, YouTube should do it. It's so interesting for a platform with so many different, they have several anti-bullying policies and guidelines that they don't enforce any of them. It's kind of weird. Anyway, Thomas Markle Jr. has been posting videos to his YouTube channel peddling baseless conspiracy theories about Meghan, Prince Harry, and their children, and Meghan's mother, Doria Ragland. Like, are y'all kidding me? It's disgusting. He slathered them with slurs, insults, and has mocked Meghan's new lifestyle brand, American Riviera Orchard, as American River Whore Orchard. Are you kidding me? First of all, that's not even original. It's not funny. It's not witty. It's just mean. Mean and inaccurate. If you can be anything, at least be accurate. And he's neither witty nor funny nor accurate nor entertaining. He's actually an embarrassment. I cannot believe in some way he is related to her. I don't believe it. I need to see a blood test. In a recent tasteless post, he imitated the Duchess by donning on a dark wig and initiating a fart noise while calling himself Megane, a nickname that has been derisively deployed against the Duchess. Some have called on YouTube to take down Markle Jr.'s page, including former tech minister Damian Collins and former BBC royal correspondent Jenny Bond, who has been outspoken in her criticism of the abuse, which she called grotesque. I would have to agree with Jenny on that. To have your own flesh and blood lead the assault must feel like the ultimate betrayal for Meghan, Bond told UK tabloid The Mirror, which first reported on Meghan or on Markle Jr.'s ongoing series of rants against the Duchess. She took particular issue with the timing of Markle Jr.'s latest post, which came amid a particularly difficult time for the British royal family. I don't care about them. Anyway, so basically, people are calling out Thomas Markle Jr. for being disgusting, being a hoe bag on YouTube, and being an asshole to his sister. I mean, at the end of the day, are we surprised? It's the Markles. It just seems like that group of people, and when I say Markles, I mean Thomas, Samantha, and Thomas Markle Jr. They're just a trio of idiots. And that's the nicest way I can put it. Anybody who will attack, malign, I mean, at the end of the day, lie on, just outright lie on their own flesh and blood, and for no reason other than wanting to gain favor with racists who hate her, That's a despicable group of people. They are lucky to even know her. And something tells me that they're well aware of that, which is why they're so visceral in their behavior towards her, because they're jealous. They're jealous, they're disgusting, and they have no couth. And it is sad. It's sad, but I'll say this. Jenny Bond's comment about it must hurt to know that your own flesh and blood will treat you that way, I would assume by now Megan doesn't feel a thing about it. I hope not, but I doubt she feels anything anymore. She has been doing a lot of inner work, and we saw and heard her talk about that on the Harry and Meghan docuseries to deal with the level of abuse that she's received from the media as well as the trolls, many of which were amplified by the coordinated hate campaign that derived from just 83 accounts that amassed millions of followers to attack Meghan on several social media platforms. Thanks to Bot Sentinel, we now know all about that. Thank you, Christopher Boozy and Bot Sentinel for that. And we got an in-depth look into how that coordinated hate campaign began and how they operate. And to know that her family intentionally trigger those people so that they can have an audience, so they can make money off the malignment of their own family member is insane to me. But just like Jenny Bond said, it must hurt to know that your family will do that. But it's been going on so long, I doubt she feels a thing anymore. I'm sure she sees them as the clowns that they are. At least I hope she does. It's never easy when family lets you down, but to coordinate an attack on you and to outright be visceral towards you, you have to cut that off immediately. I'm so proud of her. Every day, I'm reminded that she made the best decision. She made the best decision. And it's so interesting, as every day, I'm sure they remind her of that as well. There's no looking back for the Duchess, and they are sick about it. And the thing is, she would have to look back, way back, just to get a glimpse of them, because they are so far behind her. And in to that fact, they are so far beneath her. Let me stop being mean, but can you guys believe that? Like, it feels like that family, they sit around and they ask, what do we do next? How do we get more attention? And even now, just sharing my thoughts on it is giving them more attention. So this is the last I'm going to talk about it. I do like to talk about hot topics. And sometimes I do, you know, want to read people down for their behavior, but I don't really make a habit of it because I don't want to give them too much attention. But that's disgusting. And I'm glad that people are calling it out. I wish more people would do it, and I wish that they didn't have to. I wish that YouTube would say, this is not okay, and take it down. But as I've talked about for months now, YouTube has done their own fair share of amplifying hateful voices for monetary gain. So I can't imagine that they would want to be the pot calling the kettle black. But, you know, that's how it goes. Anyway, did you guys hear about this? What are your thoughts on that? I'm just disgusted with them. And the wig is so ratty and tatty. The fact that this disgusting human being went out and grabbed a wig so that he could try and make fun of his half-sister. Ugh. And then if you look in the background of the picture, you look at his little home, and you look at the little tiles on the floor, and you look at his little run-over shoes in the corner, and his little miniature nightstand, and his little odd painting. This man is clearly living in squalor, at least according to this screen grab of wherever he filmed this video. And it looks like he filmed it at home. This man is living in squalor. He is just trying to get attention. Instead of focusing on Meghan, he needs to go focus on a dentist and ask them to do something about the bottom row of those teeth. But that's not for me to say. That's not my business. He needs to pay special attention to that cold sore on his lip. While he's worried about anybody else, he needs to be worried about whatever the hell that thing is. Anyway, that's all I have for y'all on that topic. We're not going to stay on Thomas Markle Jr. too long, but that is disgusting. I hate looking at this man. And here's the thing. He bought the wig to make fun of Meghan, and it's a terrible wig, and her hair would never look like this. But he bought the wig to try to make fun of Meghan, and as bad as the wig is, it still made him look a little better, because without it, he looks even worse. Imagine looking so bad, a bad wig makes you look better. See, that's the thing. When you're trying to read somebody else, you're going to sit there and read yourself. Oh, gross. Look at his little shirt. What box did he drag that off the street from? Ugh. Anyway, Thomas Markle Jr. And he got a little headband. Oh my God. He is so weird. He is a weird man. Anyway, so let's move on. I don't want to spend too much time on that. So I got a message. Let's go ahead and read a message that I received from Stephanie Sue. Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for messaging me. Stephanie Sue says, thank you for a wonderful podcast and YouTube, Miss Sharian. I watched your YouTube first, but now I am following your podcast. I hope you have days as wonderful as mine when I listen to your podcast. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I hope my day is good. And I'm so glad to know that I'm contributing to your good days. Now, that is the ultimate win. That's the ultimate goal. If I don't do anything else, I hope I'm contributing to you having a good day. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for taking the time to say that. And it's so well worded. Stephanie, are you a writer? So I want to end with a positive note. So before we get to my last topic, did you guys hear about the famous TikToker who passed away recently? I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to be disrespectful in any way, ever, ever. I never want to disrespect anybody. And just like I said before, I will never speak ill of the dead. But what I will say is I saw the tributes. I got on TikTok and I saw the tributes and I was like, oh my God, I've seen her stuff plenty of times. I've seen her content a lot. And I was shocked to see that she passed away because she is very young and there is no information on what she passed from as of yet. But a post by her mother insinuated that they would know what she passed from within about 2 days. So I guess people are going to update us when that happens. I'm going to say this. It is always a sad thing when anybody dies, young, old, tragic, not tragic. It's always very sad when people pass away. And so my focus, instead of being on the people, is more so on their family who have to live with the loss, because the dead are in peace. It's the people who have to live with the space of knowing that they should be at that dinner table, or they should be going inside that room, or they should be coming home by 8 o'clock. And the space that's missed, you know, that isn't filled, that's hard on people. And so I'm just going to pray for the family because I'm sure this is very difficult. I'll say this. When I looked at that creator before, it was when I first got on TikTok, and I followed as many royal channels as I could, Sussex channels, whatever. I just searched hashtags to try to find, you know, my tribe. And I found her because she had a number of videos about Meghan and Harry. And I mean a lot. And her whole TikTok thing was gossip and blind items. And so she kind of did celebrity and royal gossip. She was an American person who did celebrity and royal gossip. And I noticed fairly quickly that she had a penchant for finding terrible articles about celebrities of color in particular. It could just be coincidence. I mean, you really can't control your blind items, but the ones that she chose to read were more often than not very negative. She had, she'd given a very nasty name to Oprah Winfrey. She called her Ozempra. She was one of the people who really peddled the yacht girl rumor about Meghan, that outright brazen lie, as if we can't look at Meghan's entire work history. Meghan went to Northwestern University. She had an internship in Argentina. Like, we can look at Meghan's storied career from beginning to end, as well as her education, and track where she was and what she was doing. She has never, ever been a yacht girl of any kind. But this TikTok creator decided to continue to peddle this theory, this lie, let's call it what it is, through quote unquote blind items. She claimed to have received blind items from Meghan's maid, who said awful things about her. She did have one video where she defended Meghan against the bullying claims, but what's not to defend? It wasn't true. So, I mean, anyway, but she had a number of very nasty things to say about Harry and Meghan. Right near the end, one of the later videos I saw, she was really hard up on the whole Meghan is controlling Harry, and Harry just wants to go home and be with his family. And she was kind of she was part of that noise. And the last video I saw of hers, anytime I would see them, I would report them if they weren't true, and none of them were true. So I reported them a number of times if I came across them. And I even reached out to TikTok to ask, stop putting this on my timeline. I don't want to see her things. I blocked her account, and then apparently she got a new account. And so I say all that to say, I feel for the people who the loss will affect, and I feel for her. I hate that she lost her life. That's terrible. And I don't know what happened, but, you know, I'm so sorry for her family and friends. But as far as people debating whether or not she should be memorialized as this information warrior, which is kind of the theme right now, and how some people are really pushing back on that while others are angry and saying, well, she's passed. Why are you arguing about what she did? She's passed. There's some things bigger than gossip. We have to be bigger people because she died. I just want to remind people that it is never okay to lie. And we never know what day will be our last day. And it would be a damn shame for you to go out here and lie on someone and contribute to the abuse of another individual. And that was the last thing you got to do. And unfortunately, that is the thing that people remember you by. And in this case, I'm one of those people. The majority of the content that I saw this woman put out was nasty and mean-spirited and hateful towards Meghan and Harry and several other people. And it was unwarranted and it was very unfair and it wasn't even true. I was shocked whenever her page went down the first time. I said, she might want to stop. I thought she was going to get sued. At one point she had pissed off Jennifer Lopez and she did a whole video about that. And I'll just say this, and I want to just gossip about her, but I will say this. It is okay for people to not buy into the bullshit, even though someone has died. And that might be hard to say or hear, but as I've gotten older, that is something that I have learned, is if you want people to remember you better, you have to behave better. If someone said, oh no, God forbid, Sharon passes away, and the thing I remember about her is that she made my day brighter. Thank you. That's sweet. And I hope that many people feel that way. But there are going to be several people who say, I didn't like the stuff she said about Kate. I didn't like the stuff she said about William. I don't like the stuff she said about Charles, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like the way she defended Princess Diana or Prince Harry or Meghan. And she got on my nerves. And she was a loudmouth country person with a cut who cussed like a sailor. If they said that, that would also be true. Two things can be true at once. And so if some people say, you know, I'm not going to miss her because her content irritated me. She once told me her dog had better jokes than me or whatever. And I've said that to people. And, you know, listen, people will remember you by how you make them feel. And I don't always make people feel great. I try my best to be honest. I'm always honest, but I try my best to be forthright and truthful and as honest as I can be about my feelings. And I try to deliver those feelings and those thoughts in a way that everyone can receive them without being offensive. But the truth of the matter is, when you have an opinion, you will offend some people. Now, people like myself, we can differ in opinion all day, every day, and it's not going to mean anything to me. I'm not going to judge you because we don't have the same opinion. I'm not going to care. But it's all in how you deliver it. For example, people who don't like Meghan. I don't get you. I don't understand it, but I will honor your right to feel that way. What I won't do is blow smoke. If you don't like Meghan, I don't agree with that. And it is what it is. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they don't like Meghan, so I'm going to fight with them about that. What the hell? How do you even win that? You better like her or else. No, I'm not going to do that. But what I can say is, you just as you have the right to not like her, I have the right to like her and stand in that and not allow you to taint my opinion. And when I speak on her, I will speak on her in a way of someone who's a fan. And if you don't like that, and if that offends you, you have the right to feel that way. And you have the right to find more content that does not offend you. And so we all have the right to curate our own experience on this earth. How we come off to people is not something we can really control, but what we can do is just be honest with ourselves, and we can live in the fact that we're not always going to rub people the right way. We can do our best, but we're not always going to rub people the right way. And for the people who are not rubbed the right way, they are not obligated to pretend to be inspired by us or to love us or to appreciate us or to think that we're great. They have the right to say, unfortunately, that person died. They were still an ass when they were on this earth. And that's the danger of, one, being a public figure, but two, just being a human being on this planet. Not everybody's going to care about you. And that's just, it is what it is. So when people were getting very upset with those who decided to voice their concerns and say, listen, I understand y'all are sad that she died, but let's not lie and say she was this information warrior and she was a saint and she did no wrong. We got to be honest. She pissed off a lot of people. A lot of people who were triggered when others decided to put her reputation through the wash. I think there's a line between being respectful of the dead, which is how I try to operate. I try to just say, well, you know, they moved on. Let's not split hairs. Let's move on to. But there are some people who really get offended if you don't just say the most glowing things about someone who's passed away. But you, for those of you who feel that way, you kind of have to stop and ask yourself, if they wanted to be remembered that way, they would have behaved in a way that would have, you know, resulted in that memory. A lot of people were put off by that woman. And so I try to respect people's right to grieve. And I also respect people's right to not feel a damn thing. And I don't think anybody has the right to tell other people how to feel. I think we can all operate though with respect. I respect people's right to grieve her because that's sad. Somebody died. Like I don't understand how that's not shocking and maybe doesn't warrant a little bit of like, I'll bite my tongue on this because someone has passed on. So there's something more serious going on. However, I do understand people who are like, she peddled lies nonstop. about very real people. And these lies, some of them gained wings and took hold and spread like wildfire and led to even more abuse of real people who've done nothing wrong. So yeah, I can understand very well how some people are pissed off about that, which is why when the conversation was going on, I tweeted, I won't speak ill of the dead, but she did participate in peddling terrible lies about several women of color, particularly Megan. She had very nasty nicknames for those people. And as sad as it is that she passed away, I really don't understand her fans getting angry at people for being like, listen, that's one less gossip spreading lies. Is that the worst thing that her channel got taken down a couple of weeks ago? And unfortunately, that debate is raging on right now. So I just want to honor people's right to give their tributes and to say goodbye and to feel. I mean, I saw TikTok creators actually bawling their eyes out. And that makes me so sad because I have TikTok or have creators that I just adore. Abby on TikTok, she's a van life girl. I love her content. Prince Dre, love his content. Prince Hood Cinema, Carlos King, Risa Tisa. Like, there are people who I follow. Jasmine, Black Girl Therapist in the Wild. There are people I just watch and I adore and I enjoy their content. And God forbid anything ever happened to them, I would be pretty broken up. I don't know that I would ever upload a crying video about anyone, but I will say that I would be pretty broken up and I wouldn't want anyone disrespecting them. But I have to remember that just because I got something out of their content doesn't mean other people did. So if everyone could just coexist, that'd be great. And maybe this is a good lesson in for those who, myself included, for those of us who are content creators and we do use our microphones to share our opinions, maybe this is a great moment for us to stop and think about how that affects other people and look at how people are sharing her impact on them, good and bad, and consider if that's really something we want to contribute to, because I'm sure it hurts her fans to see how so many people have been angry and we're waiting for a moment to unleash that. It is a little weird to see, I'll be honest, but I do get it. And hopefully they can just allow those people to share how they feel, just like you have the right to share how you feel. Anyway, rest in peace to that young lady and prayers to her family. And I'll leave it at that. Patreon, I'm actually going to, because I was asked in the tweet, when I tweeted, I was DM'd in response to the tweet and was like, I can't see her things. I don't know if I'm blocked or what, but I wasn't able to find anything. Can you share? And I said, sure, I will share on Patreon so that people can see exactly why I tweeted what I tweeted. And so it'll be there tomorrow. Oh, that's pretty tough. It's always weird when people die, especially like people who seem like they're doing okay and are young, and one minute they're here and they're talking about celebrities and gossip, and then the next day they're gone. It is really shocking and sad. I was shocked by it, I'll be honest. I was shocked. I was kind of floored, like, what? But I do understand how people feel. She really rubbed some people the wrong way. So I want to switch gears, and I want to actually read an article that was posted in Glamour on glamour.com. And the title is Meghan and Harry Look So Relaxed and in Love Ahead of Their Sixth Anniversary. And this is written by Kathleen Walsh. Now, I try to always share the author or the writer of these articles, especially when they write positive things, because I go follow them. It says PDA is rare for every royal couple except these two. Okay, she says, every day I become more convinced that nothing can ever come between Meghan and Harry's love. Aw, here to back me up are the PDA-filled pics of the ex-royals. Now, see, Kathleen, they're not ex-royals. They are still very much royalty. They're just not part of the senior working royal group. Hell, nobody is at this point. Anyway, the royals at a charity polo match from April 12th. Harry's friend Nacho Figueres shared photos from the event on his Instagram, including one snap that showed the prince with an affectionate hand resting on his wife's back. The pair was also photographed walking hand in hand as they arrived at Royal Salute Polo Challenge, with Meghan wearing a white halter neck dress reminiscent of her second wedding gown. Pause. Did y'all really? We'll talk about this more on Patreon, but this dress is actually called the ginger dress. I thought that was a cute nod. After the match, they were seen sharing a smooch as Meghan presented her husband with the winning trophy. Royal etiquette doesn't strictly forbid kissing in public, but public displays of affection among senior royals tends to be rare. Unless those royals are Meghan and Harry, of course, who are no longer, quote, working royals, and who never really shied away from showing their love in front of the cameras anyway. You may not remember, but it was a big to-do when Meghan and Harry shared a kiss on the lips after his polo match back in 2018, when they were first married. In fact, it was kind of a thing just to see them holding hands at official events. Quote, while Prince Harry and Meghan's holding hands is atypical for royal engagements, it is a seemingly welcome gesture to show unity and celebration of their engagement period, royal expert Micah Meyer told People at that time. This is a love that simply cannot be stopped. I thought that was a really sweet article. I thought it was cute to just take notice, but it's actually pretty customary for royal couples to kiss at polo matches. There are tons of photos of Diana kissing Charles. Ugh. On the mouth at polo matches, and we've all seen that video. Kate and William have also kissed at polo matches, but we've all seen that video where she leaned over when she gave him the trophy and she leaned over to kiss him or something, and he just walked off. That was awkward. The thing is, if I had my rathers, if I had to choose one extreme over the other, I would absolutely choose more affectionate versus less. Because just like Kathleen Walsh said, it looks more unified. Love is love. Love is beautiful. And it's nice to be inspired. And I think more people need to show love and affection, especially when you are in some sort of official status. Obviously appropriate, of course, but I think it's a great thing. I think it's nice. And I think it shows the strength of their relationship. I don't understand people who complain about that, but I've come to learn that I don't understand a lot of royal spectators who whine about stuff that Harry and Meghan do. So I'm not going to beat myself over the head with it. But anyway, thank you, Kathleen Walsh, for the very sweet article. It was very good and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, they're about to celebrate their 6th wedding anniversary. Y'all, where is the time gone? So anyway, that is all I have for y'all today. Tomorrow on Patreon, we're going to get into the outfits. And then I'll also share those videos. But today, that is all I have for you for the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's short and sweet because it's tax day. And I know y'all have a lot to get to if you haven't already. If you're not an early bird, then today is the day for you. So we're going to keep it short and sweet. But I really appreciate you guys listening. I hope you are enjoying the podcast. We just reached 12,000 listeners, which is pretty freaking cool, right? Like, I didn't think the podcast was going to grow this fast. I'm not mad about it, though, but I'm a little surprised that it's growing this rapidly. It took me 2 years to get to 12,000 YouTube subscribers. So it's nice of you guys to make the jump and come over and listen to me here. I know it's a change, so I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to like this wherever you're listening, whether that's Apple, iHeart, where it's everywhere but Spotify. If you know, you know. But thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and review and like, and I will see you next time. Bye. Everybody, welcome back to the Sharing and Sade podcast.